trust that the Lord will bless His word today. I've had a burden all week, and I thank the Lord for the way that He comes and illuminates His word and to me, and then I want to be able to share that with you. And so I trust that the blessing that was given to me can be communicated to you as well. I'd like to go to the passage in Galatians 6 where there is a universal law God has made, set in place, that is an amazing reality, and it's also a fearful reality. Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. It says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So he's giving us a law in his creation that we can see the cycle of a seed falling into the ground and coming up, bearing like seed, like fruit, and that having seed in itself, and then it goes on and it keeps doing that, and it's done that for years and years and years. And he put that in motion in nature. There are other cycles in nature that mirror that. And we read about some of them in the Word when we read about this spiritual sowing and reaping lesson. So we're going to get into some of that, but there's I call it for this message this morning, the law of spiritual returns. I'm thinking about our lives, and that's what God put these into existence for, is to show us what happens in our lives, what happens in our souls. He said that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap, if he sows to his flesh. Thinking about people who begin life sowing to their flesh, what does that mean? It means that the things that you put into your life, you put into other people's lives, are only flesh-oriented. Whatever you do it for you. People start out getting their own way. It feels good to them. They persist in that. Everything that they do is geared to what's in this for me. And just growing up like that, just whatever the flesh wants, that's what they do. Whatever they can accomplish, if they begin to be calculating. And it's amazing to see even a child's mind work to get something out of this for me. To see how even a little person can just connive and work things around and manipulate to have their own way, to get whatever that they want and to persist in it and to drive it, and you see that in conflict then with, if it has good and honest and sincere parents, that little mind and the mind of its parents are going to go toe-to-toe. You're going to, as a child, you're going to want your own way. If your parents are wise and godly and know what's good for us, then our parents will attempt to corral that and be wiser and be more calculated than the child. And it can be quite a warfare. The childhood, you may feel like everybody's against me. Well, what the deal is that your will is set to make it for you. And that's, it's really against you, because what you're doing is sowing to your flesh. You're putting seeds in the ground that will come up later in your life to hurt you and to harm you. And so it's good, children listening to me this morning, to understand the worth of not getting my own way all the time. There's something good about that. There's something good about discipline and having boundaries in my life and not being able to get the best of mom and dad, and having the knowledge that this is not good for me. Let's just say, but I wanted 5 pieces of candy and my mom said only 1 or 2. But I want that, or it could be anything else. I want to stay up later, or I don't want to go to sleep now, or just, and then it goes on and on in our lives. Children go through these things. But what's happening is you have ground. You have spiritual ground in your heart. And if you continually sow the seeds of self-centeredness in your life, they'll begin growing, and that's what kind of harvest that you'll have later on. And we don't realize it many times when we sow things in our lives, just how great the harvest will be. God tries his best to deal with us and to bring us to wisdom, to bring us to acknowledge his lordship, and to yield our lives to him early. And one of the reasons is because he knows the harvest. He knows what will happen if we persist in selfish living. But just looking down the road of people who have sadly lived this way all of their lives, you know, it gets harder and it gets harder to change the direction of your life if you start when you're young and you never have the Lord to bring control into your life. As the request went out about the young man who had to drink hard liquor every night of his life for years and years and years, that's what it means to sow seeds to your flesh. Because now, he would like to have a life that's returning good things back to him, and he doesn't have it. He's recognizing it now. He's understanding now. This is why I shouldn't have done that. But the returns are already coming in. And now he's understanding. I'm thankful that in God's plan of salvation, there is forgiveness. There is mercy. And I've seen the Lord mete out mercy to people's reaping that would have been unbearable if they hadn't turned to the Lord and received his forgiveness. I've seen the Lord's compassion and his help and grace to bear with the results of a life that had been spent in sin. But there's so many things that people are suffering for in their later years, and it's just because they sowed the seeds in their youth. And so he wants to warn us in these scriptures, don't think that you can outrun this. God's not mocked. You can't mock him, because this is a law. This is set in motion. It will happen. It will return to you. And we've heard the illustrations before that. And listen to this, children. I want you to understand these 3 or 4 things. You sow corn, you're going to get corn back. You're not going to reap a peach tree. You're not going to reap a thistle if you put corn in the ground. But it's also true that if you sow a thistle seed, you're not going to get corn out of it. You're going to get thistles. So whatever you sow, you reap that particular thing. It comes up, whatever you sow. The other thing about it is when you sow it, you don't realize what it is for a while, what it's going to be and how much it's going to be, because it comes up later. When you're sowing, sometimes it's easy to forget what this is going to be like when it really comes up. when we're not mindful about what we're sowing. Did you know that the enemy can slip in seeds that are not good? When we're just living life carelessly, there's things that we may sow in our lives simply because we're under the devil's control and we're just living loosely, and the devil can slip in all kinds of stuff. You may be a lady that likes to grow flowers, and you buy a bunch of flower seed and you put it in the ground, and later on in the year you're looking at your plants and you've got all these yellow flowers, and right in the middle of it is some kind of a big wild weedy looking something, and you think, where'd that come from? Seeds can be sown, put in into good places. The scripture says that a man who had that happen to him, he looked out and he said, my enemy did this. He did this. Well, while men sleep, it said, this happens. So if we live life sleeping, if we don't live life deliberately to serve and please God, we can reap some surprising things. And also, every time you sow a grain of corn, a seed of corn, what comes up? Whole plant. Do you just get one grain of corn off of that plant? No. It's got usually two good ears. If you have a really good yield, you might get a third. But usually you have two really good ears. And if you have good soil and good water and cultivation and all that, those ears of corn each have several hundred kernels of corn. So what's the law there? Whatever you sow, you get more than you sowed. And this is what happens in people's lives too. If you sow a bad deed in your life, when it comes back your way, there are going to be hundreds more. And you say, well, that's not even fair. It's just a law. God has illustrated it for us. We don't have to be ignorant about it as we grow up. If you can understand that while you're young, if I sow this one thing, I'll get 100 out of it, whether it be good or whether it be bad. So make it good. Make it good things that you sow. Now I want to go to a place in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We've brought out the little warning here about sowing to your flesh. Now I want to speak about sowing to the Spirit. We want to talk about what it means to have a good return. In Ecclesiastes 11, he says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. I have never been satisfied with my understanding on this scripture and some of the others in here. I've thought, there is some translation difficulties here. What in the world does all this mean? And I've gone to the commentators and I've looked, and you have six commentators, you have about six different kinds of thoughts. But so today, I'm just me, and I've been praying and asking the Lord, but he brought this to me in connection with this thought about sowing and reaping. And as I looked at it and read it and asked the Lord about it and thought about it and just thought, are these verses all totally unrelated, or are they working toward one thing? How do we do this? I believe the Lord gave me some things, but I will tell you, I may be just a seventh one of the six commentators that have a different thought. So bear with me. And maybe the Lord will give you some understanding that will be satisfactory to you. But I will say it made sense to me. So that with that, he said, cast your bread upon the waters. Well, to me, I just thought, I throw a pancake, I throw a loaf of bread or a piece of bread out on the water, I don't see this thing coming back. I mean, it's going to get soggy, it's going to just disintegrate, and that's it. And we've got a song about it. And I know that there's a spiritual meaning there. And so I've been saying, Lord, what is the meaning? So I did look this up, and there's a thought about this word bread that comes from the Asian Eastern cultures of sowing. One of them was when the Nile would flood in Egypt. Then in that moist, flooded ground, they would sow their crops because it was good. And in the Asian countries, and even here, you can see it here, they sow rice in the flooded fields. They flood that field and they sow rice. And when I read that this word bread is really pointing to seed, the seed corn that makes and produces bread, that made sense to me. And it made sense to apply it in the way that in those cultures they do sowing in water. The thought is echoed in Isaiah 32 and 20. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. So he's talking here about agriculture, about sowing, and about plowing, gardening, but we know it's got a spiritual meaning. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. And here he said, cast your bread, or your bread corn, or your seed upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. This is, I believe, that Solomon here is giving us some lessons on the law of spiritual return. He's saying, this is to me, this is the promise. This is the promise in this scripture. There's promise for return in this. You'll find it. It may be a long time, but remember, you sow, and then later, much later, sometimes you reap. So as it comes true in a negative way that we spoke about a while ago, it comes true in a positive way. And sometimes we get impatient and we're kind of results oriented, and we constantly look at, how's this coming up? How's this working out? And he's saying here, you just be faithful to sow. You be faithful to cast. You be faithful to give. Don't worry about the returns. Don't worry about the results right now. You just be faithful. Do the task. Do the work. Labor hard. And what did it say in Galatians 6? It said, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So here it is. It's to me, it's that same thought as here. You will find it after many days. You'll have a spiritual return. Oh, we sing a song that says, though life may appear as a cold, barren waste, and comes no return of the bread you've cast, continue to do loving deeds as you go. Toil on to the harvest, we reap as we sow. So I believe others have caught this in this verse, that there is promise here. Go ahead and do the deeds, though they be hard, though they seem thankless, though it seems like that there is no return. God's word promises return. Okay? It says, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Here we have not only a promise for return, but encouragement to give, because the opportunities are limited. We have a short window of opportunity. The first window that's very limited is our own lifespan. I don't have a long time in order to sow the seeds that I need to sow, in order to do all the good that I need to do. But I do have what I have. I do have the years that I have, and while I can. And that's really all we can do. Jesus, in commending the woman that came, and she was someone who recognized, I have a short window of opportunity, and I'm going to do what I can. And she did. She came and she did something that was, thank you, something that was criticized, something that seemed a waste. But she was a person who recognized the principle here. You don't know what evil's going to come. You don't know how long you have. And evidently in herself, she felt, I don't have very long to do what my heart yearns to do for this one who has done so much for me. And so this woman came and she poured out this ointment to Jesus, and he commended her and said, she's done what she could. And really, that's something that's all we can do, is what we can. Our troubles seem to be, and this is my confession, that I know deep down inside that I can. But flesh puts up many reasons why I maybe don't have to. The Lord knows that I can. The Lord knows that He's given the opportunity. But sometimes we draw back for one reason or another, but deep down inside, we can. He said, give a portion to seven and also to eight. To me, this is not only the awareness of limitations of time, but also that I need to do as much for as many that I can. Be liberal with what I give. Now, there's some things in the scriptures about that too. I think it was either last fall. I believe it was last fall. I was so inspired with the beauty around us in the fall and the sunlight, the golden sunlight one morning. And the Lord had given me all these verses about how He gives liberally and abundantly and copiously. And He was challenging me, I want you to give that way. Just give lavishly. Just pour out. That's the way the Lord gives to us. And He said, freely you've received. Freely give. Here He's saying, give a portion to seven. Hey, eight. I mean, that's what he's saying to you and to me. Give liberally. Just pour it out. Because you don't know. You don't know how short your time is. You don't know the limitations of the age that you're in. How you may not be able to do what you're able to do right now. You don't know what evil's going to come. I was thinking of, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says there is something that withholdeth more. Okay, here we go. Proverbs 11 and 24 and 25. And also 2 Corinthians. I want to get that as well. 2 Corinthians 9. So let me get this one in Proverbs. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. That's what the Lord has promised to us who give. You give and it looks like that you're going to not have enough for yourself. You're scattering it. You're thinking, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know if these people will there be any return? I don't know. It says it increases. You know, when the little boy came to hear Jesus speak and he brought his lunch, he didn't know what was going to happen that day, but he saw an amazing thing. What was it? Jesus, it came to his attention that Jesus needed some food to give to the people. This is a good example of what happens when you and I give our lives to Jesus. And the disciples asked the question that we ask so many times. Andrew said, well, here's a little boy that's got two loaves, some fishes. And he said, what are they among so many? That's what we think sometimes. All I've got is this. all I'm going to do is this. We have no idea what the Lord's going to do to increase it. He's just saying here, you go ahead and give it. Give a portion to 7. Throw it out to 8. Just put it out there because the Lord's going to increase it. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And that's what happened to the little boy's lunch. He saw Jesus take it, bless it, break it, and then start handing it out. And I'm sure the little boy's eyes got bigger and bigger. That's my second piece of fish. But there's another one there. And he's going to break that one up. There's another one. And he just looked and he looked, and that bread was just, and that fish was just going out from Jesus' hands. See, if you give your life to Jesus, you just have one life. You just have so much energy and so much time. But when Jesus gets a hold of you, and you do his will, it's a blessing that goes and goes and goes. There is that scattereth, yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Now, what is he saying there? If you're real selfish with yourself and you just live to yourself, it says that tends to poverty. You'll become a person who, it is sad to see the end of some old people who have lived for themselves. Nobody likes them. Nobody helps them. Nobody wants to be with them. Nobody cares for them. It is sad to live like that all your life. And when you come down to be old and you need somebody to help you and to cook for you and to take care of you, and nobody likes you, and they don't want to help you, they don't want to be around you. Oh, that's what poverty means spiritually. And there's so much more to it than that. I'm just bringing out these things that we can understand in real life. I see people like this all the time in the nursing homes. People that are left alone. People that are so sad and have nobody. This is what happens with a life that withholdeth more than is meat. There's times that we have to take care of things for ourselves. I'm not saying neglect yourself to the point of utter ruin. I'm just saying when you withhold more than what you should, and you just keep in for selfish reasons, and there's no sense to it. It could do something good for others. You could help. The Lord knows when we can. And we know many times that I could. Then he says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. This is the law of spiritual return. If you go around watering others, it seemed like there was a story that my dad read to me in my youth about somebody with a watering can. Anyway, somebody that they just went around making things better for people, just doing things for others. If you do that, you don't do it for the reason, well, I hope somebody will do this for me. No, you don't do it for that reason. But when you do it, well, I want to do this for the Lord, and I want to do this for you because I care for you. I want to tell you, it'll come back to you. It will. It'll start coming back, and it won't be just when you're old either. But it'll come back in ways that will amaze you. It will come back in love and care that people will have for you when you need it. There's other parables that Jesus told of taking care of future needs by being wise earlier. You take care of things and make... This law of spiritual returns, it's not only in agriculture, it's also in business. You put away for the future so that you can have something when you need it later. This is also taught in Scripture. Just remember this: he that watereth shall be watered himself. Now, I mentioned one in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Listen to this one. He had been commending the saints for their offering and how bountiful they had given even out of their poverty. These people were poor, and yet they had thought of those who were poorer than they, and they had given. And he talks about this as a special grace that he wanted others to have too. A grace, a kind of ability, a kind of blessing that came out of their lives. And then verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." If in your life, in your earlier years, you only think of self and you never have a thought for others, it's going to come back in your life, and it's not going to be pretty, and it's not going to be fun. It'll be sad to get into your older years and reap just as sparingly as you have given. "And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Then he talks about giving. He said, "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." Don't let the good deeds of your life come because somebody expected it of you, or somebody thought you should do this, and you're doing it for the praise of men or to be accepted of people. Don't do that. Don't do it because you think you're forced to. You're kind of a member of the group, and well, everybody's given, so I guess I have to. He's saying here, those kind of thoughts don't bring the blessing that just freely giving of your life does. When you do it because you want to, because you care. He said, "Let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Not only God loves that, but it makes you happy too. To give, not to obey mom and dad, not because you have to, but because you want to. I want to tell you something. You're a happy child. You're a happy young person if that's how you do in your life. If you give because you care, because you want to help, it just makes you happy inside. It just brings a lot of joy, and it brings blessings between you and other people too. It's just a good way to live, and God loves it too. God is able to make, this is the promise, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things. Look at the totality. Look at this. It just is limitless, isn't it? Anything you need. God's got grace for whatever you're doing in this life of giving and loving and serving. God's got grace. He'll give you all sufficiency in all things. And he'll do it always. That's amazing to me. The Lord gave me this personally one time, and I'll never forget it. I didn't think that I could love the way the Lord was asking me to love. The Lord gave me this verse. "Ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And I'm going to go down here past the parentheses. "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." It goes on and on and on. Because your service causes someone to just praise and thank God. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God." All of this is really, the end of it is to the glory of God. That's the whole end of anything that we do. It's not just for others. It's not, totally not for us. It's for the glory of God. That God in all things may be glorified. Now back to the parentheses. He puts this thought in, and it's really good. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. Now this is from Psalms 112 about a godly man. A godly man is someone who is a giving person. He has dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Then he, after he quoted that, he said, now he that ministereth seed to the sower. You know what he's saying here? Really, what I have that I give, it comes from God. He's the one who gives me the seed. He's the one who puts what I sow. When I'm doing good works, it really is from him. And just as fast as you will disperse it, he'll give it. That's what I see in this verse. Just, it's like one of those self-feeding things. As soon as it comes out this end is replenished. And he's always, the Lord will never let you go dry while you're giving. He that both that ministereth seed to the sower, this is a blessing that he's pronouncing on these people, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Oh, I want that blessing, don't you? I want the Lord to give me seed to sow. I want him to feed me too. I want him to enrich my life. And I want him to increase the seeds that I sow. And the fruits of righteousness, this only comes from him. This is really the essence of the whole thing. Now, go back to Ecclesiastes 11 because I want to get this one. This is verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. And here's where I was like, these are two totally unconnected thoughts, and they're in the same verse. And what do they have to do with the rest of these verses? This is what I told the Lord. I said, I don't understand this, and so I went looking for explanations for this verse, and I don't get this. And I've thought and thought and thought myself silly almost thinking about this, but I was directed to constantly think of the theme. The theme of all this is the law of spiritual return. What you put out, what you sow, you will reap. What you give and how you give is the way that it'll return to you. Now, what does this verse have to do with it? And here's my thought. When you put something into something, when the sky, when the air becomes saturated with the moisture that comes into it, it gets to the point where it's going to let it out. When you and I, in our lives, when we put something into something, it's going to start coming out. And I thought about our children. What a power we have in our hands when we have little ones that are given to us to feed into their lives information, mannerisms, music, influence, time, the ability and the understanding of relationships, how to love, how to give, how to give and take, how to express, how to work, how to play. We have all that that we're putting into these children that are given to us. It's a fearful and it's an amazing task that we have. And we have this small window of opportunity. We think, oh yeah, I've got 18 to 20 years. Really, most of that is put into the child the first 6 years of its life. And a whole lot of it is put into the child the first 2 years of its life. And those things used to make me so scared when I read all that. And I'd think at age 4, oh, I've ruined this child for life. But to comfort you, the Lord is merciful. The Lord redeems so many of our mistakes. The Lord helps us when we cry out to Him. We're just human, and we will make our mistakes. And you'll grow up and you'll say, I won't do this to my child. I won't do this to my child. And you'll do something else that your child says, I'll never do that to my child. And someone told me one time, the Lord has to heal all of us of some of the things that we had in our lives as children. And He will. And be comforted, because He'll do it for your children, same as He's done it for you. And so that was a great comfort to me. But thinking about this of the clouds becoming full, and then so full that they drop it, they give it out. This is, to me, this is what this is saying, that you put things into others until it starts coming out of them. It starts, they're going to drop whatever you put into them, and you're going to be thinking, that whatever I'm seeing come out of this, that's what I put in it. Maybe it doesn't mean that at all, but there's going to come a time when we'll see an emptying of what we have. We'll see the return. We'll see the cycle come back again, and this is what we've done. It puts a responsibility on us. Put good things in, because it's going to empty out. After a while, it's going to come back. Then he says, and this seemed to be totally unrelated, but no. If the tree falls toward the south, or if it falls to the north, wherever it falls, that's where it is. What is he saying here? I thought something came back a long time ago of a story that my dad told me. He was a young preacher, 21, first pastorate. He went to pastor at a place where most of the people were old and set in their ways. And he went there, he said, with youthful ambition and thoughts of, I'm going to set this place afire, all these old folks. And so he went with that in mind. He told me, he said, I had lots of dreams and ambition. And he ran up into a brick wall, and it was discouraging to him. And he thought he could change things. And he thought, and there was one time, he said, in the congregation, in his dealings with the people, there were some things that he just thought, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them this. I'm going to lay it down just like it should be. And he had those thoughts in his mind. Well, he went out to work in the yard. And he had a tree there in the yard. They had bought this little place. And he thought, I need to get this tree out of here. And so he went after it, and he started, I don't know if he had a chainsaw or an axe, but he went out and cut that thing, and as it began to fall, he realized what he should have beforehand. The thing fell, and it fell right on the fence and broke down the fence. And he said, my mom, his young wife, came running out and said, oh, Leslie, the scripture says that wherever the tree falls, there will it lie. And he said that through that life happening, the Lord came to him and said, that's the same way with your words. You're wanting to go into this situation and just cut it and just say what you think. The Lord said, you remember that where you cut it, that's where it's going to be. And the Lord got through to this young man through that, and that came back to my mind. And also, it came to my mind about us going out and starting to clear that property. We have two sons, and we had two trees. So we said, okay, you cut that one down. You cut that one down, or however it went. Maybe each of them said, hey, I want to cut that one down. So ever how it was, I had the video camera going, and one of the boys got the chainsaw, and we had an older man there, and then Dan. But My thought was, none of us really know how to cut big trees down. Lord, have mercy on us. And so we were out there and putting what little knowledge we had into action, hoping that we were doing it right. And it was still scary for Mom, I'll tell you that. And you can hear me on the video going, Lord help, Lord help, Lord help. Well, they decided where they wanted the tree to fall and made careful thought put into it to put the notch in exactly the right spot and to make that thing fall where they wanted it to. So that came back to my mind. And it is a fearful thing for a tree to fall. I got on the end so that the tree fell right toward me and fell toward the camera. And the thing was big. And it looked bigger as it fell. It was majestic. There was almost something emotional in that tree falling like that. And taking an old living thing, and taking it out. The Lord brought that back to my mind. What you put in to something, that's what's going to empty out. And the care that you take, or the care that you don't take, in situations of life and dealing with people, you just remember, that's where it's going to be. I know the Lord has mercy. As I've said, He has forgiveness and He has mercy. But we'd better take care of the trees we cut down in our lives, because that's where it's going to be. I believe he's saying here, life and its responsibilities and the law of return, that what you do and what you give is always going to come back. This is what he's preaching to us here. And he goes on and he says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. There's always going to be something that we could use to cop out. There's always going to be something. There's always going to be a condition that we've laughed about this before sometimes in dealing with our children, in the verse from Proverbs that says, the fool or the sluggard says, a lion is in the streets. Well, you know, the wind's not favorable. We don't have to do this today, do we? We can stay in, can't we? It's kind of cold out there. And all of that is just, there's something you know you should do, and your mind, your flesh thinks of every reason why you can't do it. Little children try this on their parents. You know, your parents give you a job. Oh, but I don't think that I can do this. Yes, you can. You can do it. Come on, do it. Just go do it. So many, that's a familiar scene, isn't it? That's what he says here. You don't think that you can. You don't think the conditions are right. But what is he saying? Remember that what you put in, that's what you're going to get out. If you're sparing, if you're stingy, if you're sluggardly, if you don't just liberally and unto the Lord, and because you care, just give, then you won't ever do it. You won't, he said here, he that observeth the wind, he won't sow. And if you don't sow, what's going to happen? You're going to have wonderful corn, right? But you never sowed it. No, that's not going to happen. If you don't sow, you won't reap. He that looks at the clouds and says, oh, it's not a good day to sow, I won't reap. And this has happened to me. We have a neighbor that told us when is the right time to sow turnip greens and kale and mustard greens. He told me. He said any day the week after August 20th is the perfect day to sow those greens. And I knew what he was talking about because he let me come and pick last year his greens, and they were just wonderful. I mean, big, tall greens. I thought, well, he knows what he's talking about. I'll do that. But you know, the week of August 20th and after that, there was just every reason in the world to not get out there and sow those greens, and I never did. And there's not a green one growing up in that garden out there. And I really wanted them, and I told myself, you're going to do this. But I don't know. I'll just say it was negligence and laziness on my part. I should have gotten out there to do it. And you know what else is something a little shameful that I'm going to confess to you? I thought, I wonder if he'll let me come and pick if I don't sew. I don't have to sew. My neighbor's got some. That's shameful. I shouldn't have ever thought that. And actually, whenever that came to my mind, I thought, that's not nice. Don't even think that way. He's not even going to. I won't even go down there if he does. And I'll kind of chastise myself. But that's what the scripture is saying. It was time to sow. And that's the way in our lives. There's time to put into our children, or there's time to put into an individual. And it's just that little window of opportunity is just right here. And that's when we get assailed with all kinds of reasons why we don't have to do this. And then it's gone. And we don't have that opportunity again. So I believe that's what he's teaching us here. Then he goes on and he says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. I have found this too in my short experience, that when God is laying something on my heart to do, something for a particular person, either pray extra hard for them, send them a note or call or whatever, he's also working on that end. And I didn't know that. And there's things happening in that life of that person just as unseen as something developing in the womb. If as a young mother, I pay no attention to what's going on and I never care for the child that's developing in the womb, that can have some real repercussions. So it is with people. There's relationships. There are people that are developing in the spiritual womb, that if I could get past myself and minister to that person and work and do what God is saying, do give liberally, say the word that needs to be said, do the deed, make the call, pray. He said, you don't know the works that God is doing in the life of that person. In the morning, then he said, this is to me the conclusion, sow thy seed. In the morning of your life, I believe this is what it means, or just in all the opportunities of your life, take advantage of them to do the good things. In the morning of your life, sow your seed. And in the evening, don't withhold your hand. Sometimes in the evening of our lives, we think, well, I'm done. That's it. But he's saying, go ahead. Go ahead and open up and share what you have. I'll tell you, older people and their experiences, I'm so glad that they've not withheld from me. I've, like the one I told you, my dad shared with me. That's influenced me. That's really helped me. Many things my parents and grandparents shared with me, I'm so glad they didn't withhold. There is wisdom. What is the little song that says, The hidden secrets of the years lie beneath those crowns of gray. If you're getting older and you've had some lessons, share it with younger people. You think, oh, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear me. But if you'll share it with, you can study. We can study on how do I make this interesting to this young person? How do I show this person that I care, that I'm not just spouting off my wisdom, but that I really care? Had an experience I told about meeting a young man on the plane or in the airport, that I was glad that I had a lifetime of experience and I could share with him and tell him, I've been married 32 years. I know what a good marriage is like. I know God wants you to have one. I know that if you follow God's plan, I'm positive. I could say this with all of my heart to this young man. I was glad I had something to give. And I kind of apologized. I said, okay, I know I'm preaching to you. He said, I'm listening. And then he gave me a hug twice. And it was just like, I can't believe this is happening to me. I just sat down and I got a message from God. And I believe he took it like that. We never know. That's what this verse said. You don't know what's happening in the lives of people. Go ahead and sow the seed. In Psalms, I know I'm taking a little longer here, but bear with me. In Psalms, there's a scripture, and I never can remember the chapter, but you might have to help me, where he says, they who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come rejoicing. Where is that?
Psalm 126.
Thank you. Psalm 126. We may feel like, I'm not doing this very well. When I do this, when I say this, I just start to cry. We may feel like, well, I get down to pray for this person. Really, all that I have is just weeping. I don't know if I'm doing anything or not. This says, this is the key. This is what guarantees the returns, is earnestness and genuineness and pouring ourselves into it. It may cost us emotionally. We may just wring out the tears. But that kind of a burden is what yields the increase. We water the seed with our tears. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So in the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, withhold not your hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. I know we'll have some failures. I know there will be some people that we'll have to watch go, and it's hard. But we don't want to come and say, I know I could have done more. I know there were times that the Lord said for me to say this or to do that, and I didn't do it. That's already happened to me. I don't want that to keep happening. I want to be there, faithful, to do that sowing, to be faithful, even though I don't know what's going on, that I don't always say to myself, I don't understand this, so I don't think I'm going to do it. No, just trust God. God's working. God's working. Lord, you told me to do this. I want to go ahead and do this. I hope all this makes sense. There were so many things that came to mind, and I believe that in these scriptures are some really precious secrets and promises and guarantees, and also some real fearful warnings. So let us receive the lesson is my prayer.